Well, amen. It's wonderful to be in the Lord's house today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. The ESV Bible reads, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise. I will give thanks. You know, one of the marks of a Christian is that of thanksgiving. A spirit of gratitude, an attitude of appreciation, the acknowledgement of blessings poured out. A frame that knows how fortunate it is. And no matter the season, no matter the place, favorable or less favorable, the Christian is giving thanks always. The message paraphrase reads, I'm thanking you, God, from a full heart. I'm writing the book on your wonders. I'm whistling, laughing, and jumping for joy. I'm singing your song, high God. Billy Graham said, a spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. Yes, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, and worry. And it helps fortify the believer's trust in the Lord and reliance of His provision, even in the toughest times. No matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. It's so true. We understand that forces come to silence the giving of thanks. Trials, persecutions, hard times, arid ground, apparent lack, physical attack, emotional attack, mental attack, disparaging reports. And yet, is it not true that gain and wealth, prosperity and long seasons of health have silenced the giving of thanks? Deuteronomy 8, beginning of verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up literally becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, that is, confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Whistling, laughing, jumping for joy, singing God's song. Or as the whistling ceased, the laughing concluded, the jumping stopped, the joy seemingly ended. Have we our song? God's song? Or have we lost our song? Have we lost God's song? David, help us sing again. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. We pick up Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. People of the Lord, Psalm 96, verses 1 to 9. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord has made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give, that is, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Have we our song? Have we God's song? J.I. Packer said we need to discover all over again that worship is natural to the Christian, as it was to the godly Israelites who wrote the Psalms, and that the habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of God yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. You know, I want to be one that is giving thanks always. One that never loses the whistle. One that never loses the laughter. One that never becomes earthbound. One that never loses the joy. I wonder if you join with me in reminding self today, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Amplified Bible, the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. The normal manner for a believer, for a Christian, for one in right mind and right spirit, giving thanks always. That spirit of gratitude, the attitude of appreciation the acknowledgement of blessings poured out, a frame that knows how fortunate it is. One man said, I'm just thankful for everything, all the blessings in my life. I'm trying to stay that way. I think that's the best way to start your day and finish your day. It keeps everything in perspective. These words, if you experience gratitude as a burden, you don't know gratitude. Because true gratitude is not an exertion of the will. It's an overflow of a sense of being treated better than you deserve. Man, have I ever been treated better than I deserve? And haven't we all? Perhaps we need a little stimulation today. Well, we're in the house of the Lord, Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's so clear. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, let the Spirit stimulate your souls. People, that is the answer. Express your joy in singing among yourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in your hearts for the ears of God. Thank God at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can be the richest person in the world and not know riches and richness. I can be the poorest person and not know riches and richness. And you know, the same is true concerning knowing. A.W. Tozer said, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer but richer for having made it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. Charles Spurgeon, it is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. Giving thanks always. May our giving of thanks never be subject to and relegated by what we do not have. I wonder if we can adopt the mindset and spirit of an old-time saint. Elizabeth Elliot said, God has promised to supply all our needs. What we don't have now, we don't need now. Not part of your theology? Just wrestle with it. Might we become those that give thanks for all fortune? You know, people of God, this would be the will of God for us. One of the most distinctive marks of a Christian, one of the primary identifying characteristics. C.S. Lewis said, we ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it is good, because it is good. If bad, because it works in us. Patience, humility, and the contempt of this world and the hope of our eternal country. Now, there's a saint with his head screwed on right. Giving thanks. Always. Do we not desire a heart buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord? This can be my portion. It can be your portion. This holy reality, this manner of life and living. This is what the Spirit of the Lord longs to work in us. Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know how to be abased, literally. I know how to live humbly. I know how to abound, literally, to live in prosperity. You know, we need this teaching, and we need to be taught. We need to be educated in this manner. Have we learned, in whatever state we are in, to be content? Feed on the word of the Lord today. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 11. Now, godliness with contentment. Apparently, it's great gain. That's God's word. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these shall we be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Now let's just clear the air. Money is not evil. The love of money is another matter. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. For I have learned in whatever state I am. You know, perhaps there is a learning process. And yet we can learn this lesson quick with the help of the Spirit. Abased or abounding, I know how to live humbly. Abased or abounding, I know how to live in prosperity. You see, the apostle had learned how to do all things through Christ who strengthened him. In need of stimulation today, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses, that is, manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Think about it, people. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:15 and 16, for all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Psalm 116, 12 and 13, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The Message paraphrase, what can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. It's a day to toast God. And every day, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have we our song? Have we our God song? You know, first and foremost, our souls have been healed, saved. What a miracle. I've been treated better than I deserve. Better than I deserved. Salvation, deliverance, freedom, our portion. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Think about it, people. What a gift. The grace of God, His mercy. Where are we at today? Remember, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, and worry, and it helps fortify the believer's trust in the Lord and reliance of His provision. Even in the toughest times, no matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. I want to remind the church today that there is always a reason to be thankful. In everything and in every situation and circumstance, and even if we are going through the valley of the shadow of death right now, lift your eyes and look. He's got a Thanksgiving feast prepared. Pull up to the table. Pull up to His table and partake. He prepares a table before us in the very presence of our enemies. There's an anointing there and an overflowing cup. I don't know about you, but I concur with David. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So many things to be unthankful for. Where's that getting you? Deeper in the dumps? Further into gloom, despair, regression, and depression? Lord, anoint us. Lord, we need this Spirit. Isaiah 61:3, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The NIRV, I will anoint them with olive oil to give them joy instead of sorrow. I will give them a spirit of praise in place of a spirit of sadness. Pressed down by so many problems and distresses, I share with you the words of David Wilkerson. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This matter of giving thanks always was so important in Paul's theology. He repeats it three times. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, we cannot do this as we ought. We are pressed down by so many problems and distresses. Of course, God does not want us to fake it. It seems to me Paul has given us the key to it all when he tells us, do it unto the Father. That great preacher John Calvin said that such singing and giving thanks always is all feigning and hypocrisy unless we are fully persuaded that God is our Father. Our mouths quiver sometimes with grief so that we cannot sing. We do not feel like giving thanks. Dire circumstances shatter our spirits. There are times the heart cries, Lord, do you really expect me to sing and make melody when I hurt so badly? Lord, I'm so burdened down with the cares, I could barely lift my head. Lord, I find it hard to praise and speak hymns in my heart. There's too much fear, grief, and doubt. Yes, it is not easy to respond to this important truth. God is not severe with us when we hurt. We are his children. But these words are given us to find solace and relief in such times. We become so focused on our difficulties that we lose more than our song. We drift further and further away from God's eternal promises. In spite of all we face, our Lord says, give thanks always. We become ungrateful for all he has done in the past. We get swallowed up in praying only for ourselves, our needs, our families. We cannot lift up our eyes to others suffering more than us. I am truly convicted by this word from Paul. I want to face tomorrow determined to sing to my Lord and to give thanks for an entire day. For all things, in all things. It may be an inaudible song. It may be weak at first, but there must be power in doing it by faith, or it would not have been repeated three times. Oh, that 10,000 reading this message would endeavor to sing along with me. What a joy it would bring to Father's heart. Then to follow it up by resting in the truth that God has heard your cry. He is working out the solution even now and every day. So go on giving thanks always and never stop singing love songs to our precious Lord and Savior. Would you join with me today and in this season of giving thanks? Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Are you here today hard-pressed? Is it perplexity? Persecution? You're feeling some strikes? Well, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 9, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. You know, there is no doubt that we aren't all at the same place today and in the same place. Abased and abounding. Abounding and abased. And yet we can all know contentment. We can all know how to be abased, how to live humbly. We can all know how to abound, to live in prosperity, and whether abased or abounding, we can know how to live humbly. We can know how to live in prosperity. People of God, we can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's never lose the song. Let's never lose the God song. Let's never lose God's song. Let's never stop singing, offering thanks. A heart ever buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness. And may we always be found returning and returning to give him thanks. Have the worship team return today. You know, I've been treated better than I deserve. I was a leper. Luke 17, beginning at verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. What a miracle. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus said, answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Man, I was a leper. I was a foreigner. Thank God I'm healed and cleansed. Thank God I'm a citizen. Never lose the wonder. We've been treated so much better than we deserve. I've been treated better than I deserved. Jesus. I was a prodigal. I thank God for the day that I came to my senses. I thank God for the day that some eternal memory gripped my soul. The day I chose saying, I will rise and go to my Father, content to be his servant. I was foolish. The waste. The lifestyle. I acted like a pig. I looked like a pig. I smelt like a pig, and then I knew I was a pig. So there I was, making my way, and still, a far way off, my father started running. I had sinned before him. I wasn't worthy to be called his son. But he came running full of compassion. He ran and he fell on my neck and kissed me, taking my uncleanness upon himself. And he gave me a robe, the blood of Jesus. And he gave me a ring of empowerment. And he gave me shoes to represent his kingdom, a new walk. And he said, you're ready now, son. You're ready to go. I have to give him thanks with my whole heart. I have to recount all of his wonderful deeds. I am glad and I exalt in him. I have to sing praise to him. His son was dead, and now he's alive. I wonder, you know, the prodigal home, after that day with the big party, and you know, he thought he was just going to be a servant. And you know, he served in the father's house, but he was a son. He was a citizen. You know, I wonder as the days went by that maybe he started to lose his song a little bit. You know, just life went on and things in the house and duties and obligations. I wonder in those moments if he could smell the pigs. And then he'd start giving thanks. You know, the truth is, every single Sunday we should be gathering into the houses of the Lord as Christians, and we should just come in, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We should come in with our lists of what we have to be thankful for. A spirit of gratitude, an attitude of appreciation, not come in as so many do. Some don't come in because of their list of what they're unthankful for and ungrateful for. They come in burdened, weighed down by what they perceive as lack of provision, lack of answers, lack of open doors, lack of opportunity, lack of use, instead of coming in and saying, God, I was a leper. I was a prodigal. Is there a leper in the house? Is there a prodigal in the house? The truth is, we're all lepers till he heals and cleanses us. You know, that's an interesting line. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, come today. We're all prodigals. We're all prodigals till we are home. Till his arms surround the dead. Then we come to life in our Father's eyes. Feel his tears upon our neck. Oh, that 10,000 would hear this message and endeavor to sing along with me. What joy it would bring to Father's heart, giving thanks always. Let's stand in the house. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you came to the right place today. It's by no mistake that you entered this house. Perhaps you have donned the doors of this house before, and an invitation has gone out. Well, the invitation goes out again today. Today is a day of salvation. Would you open up your heart? Would you acknowledge, God, I'm a leper without you. I'm a prodigal without you. I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the bridge. Sin. Whether we think we're a sinner or not, we're born sinners. A fallen world, fallen nature. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The reality is that sin created a chasm that we can never cross on our own. Absolutely impossible. So many try to cross the chasm. You know what they're trying to get across the chasm with? Works. A nice idea of who they are. I'm a good person, that'll get me across. I give to the poor once in a while, that'll get me across. Jesus is the bridge to life. He laid down his life that we might be reconciled unto the Father. He extends the invitation to you today. Jesus has come. Jesus took his uncleanness, your uncleanness rather, upon him. But you have to receive the gift, the salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. You have to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. This is not just about getting a ticket to heaven. This is about life change. This is about a 180. This is about surrender. This is about laying everything down at the foot of the cross and saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I surrender everything to you, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. Be brave and answer the call today. We love you, God. Jesus.